grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The baptism of Jesus is what we celebrate today, obviously. Many of our songs already have spoken of baptism, and our confession spoke of baptism, and the readings have spoken about it. It's fairly clear that that's what we're talking about today. But the reading from Romans chapter 6 is not in our baptismal liturgy. In fact, it's in our funeral liturgy. It's the first reading we have, which is a responsive reading in our funeral liturgy, is Romans chapter 6. So why does baptismal language figure so prominently in funeral liturgy? It's kind of important for us, because when we look around, when we have any sense of the way the world works today, death is all around us. There's really no avoiding it. We can try as we might to keep it at an arm's distance, and we do all sorts of things to sanitize death. We call it all sorts of different words, passing away, falling asleep. There's all sorts of language that we use, and Jesus uses some of that language too, but suffice it to say, you can't sugarcoat death. It's right there, all the time. And as a pastor doing funerals and attending to people in their last days and visiting families when loved ones have passed away, there's no denying the destructive nature of death. We could be pretty grim if we wanted to get into statistics about death. We could be pretty grim if we just wanted to sit here and sort of wallow in what we know is all around us. But there's a light. There's a light in the discussion of death. And I want to say this because it's important for us, again, that no matter what we call it, death is death. We can call it whatever we want, but death is death. It's right there. We can call the memorial services celebrations of life, or we can call them whatever we want, but death is still death. It's still right there. You can't deny it. And so let's not deny what is going to be something that we all experience at some point in time. We know not when, but at some point. But there's a light in death. There's a light in death because of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Being baptized into the death of Christ means a whole lot more for us than simply trying to deny what death really is. Jesus came to the Jordan River to be baptized. He didn't need to be in the sense of needing to be forgiven of his sins or anything of that nature. He came, as he says, to fulfill all righteousness. That's a wonderful phrase. What does that mean? What does it mean that in Jesus' baptism, he fulfills all righteousness? It means he does all that is necessary for you and for me. All that is necessary to appease the wrath of God. All that is necessary to check every box that the list of the law had in mind. He does everything necessary to take what was once a baptism for repentance, as John says, and turn it into a baptism of forgiveness and a baptism of connection. A baptism that now ties us to Jesus. Before, baptism was simply a ritual. It was something that people did. It was a cleansing that you did before you went to see the priest to be sure that you were clean enough to be in society again. Now John takes it and says, no, this is for the repentance of your sins. And now Jesus comes and he says, this is for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, in baptism, we are connected to Jesus so much, so closely, so intimately, that Paul says we are baptized into his death. Sometimes we feel as though we might have to approach death on our own. Sometimes we feel that those we love have seemed to approach death with a very sense of being out there in of themselves alone, and yet here Paul says that we are baptized into Christ's death. The death he died on the cross was for us, and so now we, in our baptisms, are bound to him. We are connected to him. And that connection cannot be severed by any means that we know as human beings. That connection is permanent with us and Jesus. So when that day comes for each of us, when that day comes, when death comes calling, we won't do it alone. We may be surrounded by friends and family or however that time comes, but we will not be alone by any stretch of the imagination, because in our baptisms we are connected to Christ and to his death. And because of his death, we are connected also to his resurrection. So everything Christ did, from being born to living to dying to rising again to ascending, all of that in our baptisms, through what Paul says here, is given to us. You receive all of the benefits that Christ gained for us on the cross. Everything that Jesus went through, he says, is now yours. Everything I went through for you is now yours. So yes, death, we will all face that. But also the life that comes from it. Who knew that in baptism, even when it's a little baby, there is a dying and rising. A dying and rising in baptism. Now, we don't pay attention to the dying part as much as we do the rising part, but in baptism, each one of us was put to death. Because in baptism, each one of us was connected to Christ's death and then raised up again. Paul says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, not to stay dead, not to remain in the grave, not to remain drowned in the waters of baptism, but, he says, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So out of death in baptism comes life. Out of death on the cross comes life. Out of the darkness of the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death comes life. In Christ, all of this given, as Paul says, in baptism, we are connected with Jesus so that the fear gives way to trust, so that the darkness gives way to light, so that death gives way to life. Now, what does that mean for us today? Well, what is the newness of life that we walk in? What is this newness of life that Christ gives to us? It can mean a whole lot of things. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Yes, it's the promise, first and foremost, of the resurrection to life eternal. It's the promise that as Christ was raised, so will we be. As Christ lived, so we will live. As Christ reigns and rules, so we will live under his reign and rule for all eternity. What does it mean for you today? as we are here in worship to celebrate the gift of baptism and the baptism in Christ, it means we take this gift of newness of life, this gift of forgiveness, this gift of the promise, and we go out there into the world that still remains in darkness, that doesn't want to see it, that prefers the shadows to the light. We take that life, that newness of life, into a world that doesn't want to see it, but we show it to them anyway. We show it to them anyway, because that's what Christ has done for us. So we do so for them. So I thought about doing this, but then I second-guessed myself. I was going to put water in the baptismal font so that when we came up for communion, we could dip our fingers in and make the sign of the cross, but then I thought people might think that's too weird. Maybe next time. But know that when you come up for communion, when you come up to receive the body and blood of Christ, he is once again giving you all that he has done on the cross. Because you are baptized in his name, he gives himself to you so that you needn't face death alone, that you needn't walk in that valley of the shadow of death alone, that you can hope in the promise of life everlasting. And we do, together as his people. Amen. And now may the grace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.